Welcome to week two of the Buckmaster Show for Monday, January 10th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. Saturday was a very sad day in Tucson, Arizona and the nation after what can only be described as one of the darkest days in our community's long history, as a gunman opened fire in a Safeway store on the northwest side where Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was holding one of her Congress on Your Corner events, her first event since her re-election to a third term in November. Thank God Congresswoman Giffords survived the point-blank shot to the head. Unfortunately, U.S. District Judge John Roll, 9-year-old Christina Taylor Green, who was born on 9/11, Giffords' aide Gabe Zimmerman, and three retirees, 79-year-old Phyllis Schneck, 76-year-old Dorwin Stoddard, and 76-year-old Dorothy Morris, did not survive the senseless slaughter that also injured a dozen other residents of our community. Our prayers go out to all of the victims and to their families. For me, this attack was very personal. I know Gabrielle Giffords and have known her for many years and consider her to be a very good friend. When I announced that, she was among my first guests on this new radio show last week. And when I announced last October I would be leaving KUAT in Arizona Illustrated after 23 years to launch my own broadcasting venture, she was among the first to be on the phone wishing me well. And again, we thank God she survived this massacre. Over the next hour, we will try to come to grips with this horrible event. Joining me in studio, John Munger, a Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010 and former chair of the Arizona Republican Party and Pima County Republican Party. Soon to join us also in studio will be Vince Robago, a 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General and former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. On the phone with us is Jeff Rogers, the current chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. I'm going to begin with Jeff Rogers because Congresswoman Giffords, Mr. Rogers, was scheduled to be with you and other Democrats, I believe, over at Rincon High on Saturday morning. Is that correct?
Well, we had expected her to probably show up later in the afternoon. We were holding various educational sessions for our precinct committee people, and we had several hundred of them there and in the morning. And then we would have started our plenary session in the afternoon to re-elect or elect leadership of the party for the next 2 years cycle. And needless to say, our morning was interrupted with a lot of emails and text messages that there had been a shooting. And from there, it sort of devolved into nobody knowing what had happened.
Mr. Rogers, give me your personal opinion and feelings as you try to come to grips with this over the past 48 hours. How are you feeling right now?
I had to drive up here to Gila County Superior Court this morning and woke up very early. And the first thing I thought this morning, as yesterday morning, was it all a dream or did this really happen? I mean, I've been here for 31 years and there's nothing like this happened anywhere in all of Arizona during that 31-year period. So, you know, I still continue to be sort of stunned and shocked that this even occurred at all. And my heart is just broken because she is one of the rising stars of the Democratic Party. As a moderate Democrat, as one must be in a state like Arizona to win statewide, we had always believed that she was probably our best shot at a state winning statewide race, whether it be senator or governor in the future. And our hopes and prayers are that she will come through this okay and be just like the Gabby Giffords we remember.
Jeff, stay with us as we talk now to John Munger and Vince Robago. Let's begin with John Munger. Mr. Munger, some of your thoughts.
Well, you know, everybody in Pima County loves Gabby Giffords. She's just a delightful person. She's full of life. She's always gracious. You know, I remember the day I ran, was coming out to announce for governor in 2010, and I got a call. I was at the sink cleaning up and got a call with a 202 area code, and it's Gabby Giffords on the phone saying, "John, I just want to wish you good luck in your campaign." And you know, she didn't need to do that. She and I have been friendly adversaries over the years, but you know, she's just anybody that knows Gabby would say that she is just a world-class person. And I joined Jeff. I'm just brokenhearted, not only at Gabby's situation, but on the effect on our democracy that this type of thing has. We all need to work together to make sure that this doesn't affect our democracy and our freedom of expression and all the things that go with it.
Vince Urbago, weigh in for us now. I know this has hit you very hard.
Yeah, it's quite a shock. You know, I think the same words come to mind: shock, dismayed, heartbroken. You know, not only, of course, my friends and with Gabby and a big supporter of hers, but you know, four of the other individuals, including two that were killed, Gabe Zimmerman and Judge Roll. I knew them both personally, and and two others that were also shot. So it really hits close to home, and I can't but echo what Jeff and John have said here today about Gabby and her personality and her ability to be a public servant that was good-hearted and kind to all. Didn't matter what party affiliation you had, she was working for you. And just this whole thing has really shocked us. And you know, it reminds me on the night I lost the primary for Attorney General, my wife ran into Gabby in the hallway, and she was on the phone talking with someone, and she stopped her conversation on the cell phone and visited with my two children, who were 7 and 6, and my wife, and gave them hugs and said hello and just took the time from her schedule, and that's something my wife, you know, remembers very vividly and what really touched my heart. So it's a shock.
Jeff, I'm also going to ask John and Vince about this. The Arizona Republic today, their lead editorial: politicians must not hide in fear. Let this incident change the way our democracy works. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's going to be difficult for them to do that. I would have to say that if I were Congressman Grijalva right now, I would be a little bit worried, because he received a lot more threats than Giffords has in the past 6 months or so, and has had more attacks on his offices than hers. So he has to be scratching his head, saying, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. And many other congressmen and women across the nation have to also be thinking about that. And I'd like to think that the editorial is correct and that maybe it won't change it, but realistically, people are going to have to re-examine how they interact with the public. And we saw a lot of that re-examination from last summer, from the summer of 2009, that is, during the healthcare debate and all of these town halls. There was everything but physical attacks on some of our congresspersons. And so, you know, given that, together with what happened here, together with the rather incendiary and heated rhetoric we've seen rise in the past few years, I think congresspersons would be foolish to not at least re-examine how they conduct these events. For instance, if a congressperson were going to hold another one of these congressmen on the quarter events, I'd say they might want to not just alert the sheriff's department, but, you know, call them and say, you know, can you have a couple deputies down there watching out for it? And I think we are going to see some changes, and it's unfortunate, but we saw those changes in the presidency, both after Kennedy's assassination and after the attempts on President Reagan.
Jeff, pull back
a little bit.
John Munger, has the rhetoric gone too far, and how will this change the political campaign process?
Well, you know, one of the great things about our democracy is we've had intense debate since the beginning of the Republic. Anybody that knows their history knows that the intensity of the debate today is, frankly, consistent with the intensity of the debate over the years. We have wacko people like this young man who's concerned about grammar and the gold standard, for goodness sake, whose favorite books are the Communist Manifesto and Mein Kampf. The guy is a wacko. My belief is, as a former candidate, is we are not just the land of the free, but we are the home of the brave. And we've got to stand up and go about our business with the intense debate. That doesn't mean we need vitriol, but I haven't never engaged in vitriol. I don't think Jeff and Vince have either. And I just think that there is room in the Republic for dynamic debate. I did not see and have not seen the type of threats, and this event did not arise out of the out of any Tea Party events. There's no connection of this guy to the Tea Party or to that he even listens to Beck or Hannity or anybody else. This guy's just crazy.
Vince, what do you think about that?
Bottom line is, I think we need to gird our loins and go about our republic as free people and brave people.
Well, you know, I would agree with that insofar as it goes, but I would have to agree with the perspective I've heard from many others, and I think was sort of mentioned by Jeff, and that is the rhetoric has gone too far. There was a candidate, for example, in Nevada, U.S. Senate candidate, saying that if the election didn't go their way, that people might have to exercise their Second Amendment remedies. Things like that, you know, you have crosshairs being used, gun crosshairs that were used on this particular congresswoman's district by Sarah Palin. Don't go home, reload. All the gun metaphors and that sort of heated rhetoric. In fact, her current opponent, this one, that adds to a situation, in my view, that is not healthy. That is not dynamic debate. That is not, although it's protected, yeah, sure, it's protected. Sure, you can say it's just speech, but the reality is speech does have consequences in the greater discourse, and that's why you're seeing so many people that are raising this issue. People are concerned about the debate when you have people carrying assault rifles to presidential events, which is their right to do, but understand that that is the context and it's a reality. You cannot avoid that reality, and I think it's a bad reality.
Well, I want to comment, look, we have all been involved in the political process, and I would venture to say that when Jeff at the Democrats and the Republicans go out for campaigns, they quote target candidates. Happens all the time. I know for a fact that yes, Sarah Palin had something like that, but so has the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council. They had a big map of the United States with targets, as in target practice, targeting Republican candidates. That's a term of art. Look, what we cannot do is let this turn into another round of political correctness. It just can't happen.
Jeff Rogers, will the tone change at all? Do you think words like targeting candidates may be dropped from the verbiage?
We might be a little bit more careful, but John's right about targeting. Targeting is a word of art. I mean, we target districts, but, targeting a district and saying this is one of our top 20 targets and putting the crosshairs of a rifle sight on that district at the same time you're hearing the things like Sharon Angle said, and at the same time her own opponent was advertising in a fundraiser, shoot a fully automatic weapon with Jesse Kelly. I mean, these are, as John was saying, we've had an intense debate, since the beginning of this country. But right now we have things that we didn't have before. Cable TV, what I tend to call hate radio sometimes, and the Internet. And these kinds of things can, as Sheriff Dubnyk said, they're not going to affect an ordinary normal person to do anything but maybe vote and speak out. But they, you take someone who's somewhat mentally unhinged already, and these kinds of things can and might push them over the edge. And that is not to say that this person was affected by them, although I bet when they pull apart his computer and start looking at the websites he looked at, we'll get a flavor for what he was about. But there were many rants about anti-government statements, and those don't tend to come from leftists or liberals. The anti-government sentiment is something that, not mainstream Republicans like John Munger, but some of the right-wing extremists have been stoking that fire for the last several years.
Vince Urbago, will this change the way people look at perhaps running for office? Will they maybe decide, I don't really want to get involved in this?
I think it will. Some people will be affected by that. There's no question. But, you know, we're going to have to examine how those events are held, you know, make sure that there is adequate security. And I think the biggest thing, though, is that some of this additional tone does need to be addressed. And I'm not saying anything about political correctness, and I don't want John to get me wrong here. I'm a big believer in the First Amendment and all of our constitutional rights. It's just this tone, and tone does, and actual speech when you're using firearm metaphors that are very specific. I'm not just talking generally the word targeting. I'm talking about the very specific things that were just referenced and others, and the carrying of weapons and let's go do this. That stuff, that tone, and you know, talking about bloodshed, we have to, you know, cleanse the tree of liberty with bloodshed. I mean, we're talking about very specific things, and it could push people over the edge. It's what's scaring people about politics right now.
Vince, that's out of the Declaration of Independence. I mean, you know, let's not turn this into a political correctness debate. What we need to do is recognize that there is no evidence this guy was influenced
by any of that.
And we can overreact to the point where we turn this republic into a bunch of terrified people, and there is no basis for that.
Look, the reason why yourself and other Republicans are, and this is not a pun, but gun shy and reacting so strongly to our stating these facts is because that's the reality, and it's been the Tea Party folks and others affiliated with the Tea Party that have been the most vocal.
Gentlemen.
So those are
there's
the things,
no
that's
evidence
why,
that
that's
those
why
facts
you're so
have,
sensitive.
There's no evidence that has anything to do with this.
Okay,
Bill,
gentlemen.
Bill.
Yes,
well,
Jeff.
Jeff, I have to run into court here, and I would like to say one last thing here.
Please do,
and
sir.
That is that on a more conciliatory note here, we have heard that this preacher, Fred Phelps from the Westboro Baptist Church, is planning to come in and do protests at the funerals of these people, he has at the funerals of many of our veterans.
I am so sorry. I am so sorry to hear that news, Jeff.
And so what I spoke with Brian Miller, the new chairman of the Republican Party, yesterday, and he agreed that we would jointly try to do something to counter that with, as they have, there have been some successful groups where people have surrounded them and held hands and candles and such, and kept them from the view of the families and the funeral processions.
Okay,
and
Jeff.
So I think we all share that value that these ought to be a dignified procession. So I'm pleased to announce that the Republicans and the Democrats will be joining in that.
Good news, Jeff Rogers. Thank you very much. The current chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, Vince Ribago, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and John Munger, former chair of the Republican Party. Thank you all very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show on this rather sad, somber Monday here in Tucson, Arizona. Thanks.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Buckmaster Show. Mark Kimball, longtime Tucson citizen executive, has been with the Congresswoman Gifford's office since 2009. Mark and I worked together for many years on the Reporters Roundtable on Arizona Illustrated on Channel 6. Mark was with the Congresswoman when the shots rang out Saturday morning. Mark, first of all, I hope you're doing well. All of our prayers are with you and everyone with the Congresswoman's office.
Thank you very much, Bill.
How are you handling things? I mean, we've read. Yeah, I can imagine. We've all read the accounts of what happened. You were an eyewitness to this. What are your feelings now, 48 hours after this?
Well, it's still very impossible. It's impossible to believe. I'm having nightmares about it. You know, there's just so many different feelings. We've lost one of our colleagues here in the office who we very much cared for. We're very concerned about our boss, Gabby. We are all inspired by her, and we all care for her very much. We love her. We feel privileged to work for her. It's just, as you can understand, a very difficult time.
How is Ron Barber and the other executive with your office doing?
Ron Barber and Pam Simon, the two other people who were injured, are both doing fine. We've talked to both of them, they're going to be gone from the office for a while, but they're going to recover, and we're very grateful for that.
Mark, what happens now with the office and your constituent services?
Well, we're going to continue doing the best we can at helping people who need help, which is one of the reasons the Congresswoman was where she was on Saturday. If people need help with the federal government, there are still people here who will do our best to continue doing that. That was one of the strong feelings that Gabby has, that we're here to help people who need help, and she would be very disappointed in us if we didn't continue doing that. Then we're going to.
Mark, we've only got about 30 seconds. I don't want to keep you very long. I just wanted to check in with you, make sure you're doing okay, publicly acknowledge that, you know, we've been friends many years, and I want you to know my thoughts and prayers are with you and everyone with the Giffords family and all the victims of this. Mark, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much, Bill.
This is the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be taking a hard break with CNN News coming up. We'll continue. Jim Colby will be next.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. We're learning more about Jared Loughner, the suspect in Saturday's massacre in Tucson, Arizona.
He's a very troubled individual.
Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dubnik says Loughner is scheduled to appear before a federal judge in Phoenix today. President Obama led the nation in a moment of silence to remember the six people who were killed and the 14 wounded in the shooting. AirTran's Chris White says the airline canceled all flights today because of a major winter storm in the south.
The last time we had total cancellation of Atlanta and every other airport for that matter was on 9/11. It's been quite a few years, fortunately.
A total of more than 1,600 flights have been canceled. Vice President Joe Biden is in Afghanistan on a surprise visit. He's meeting with U.S. troops and the Afghan president. The Ford Explorer was named Truck of the Year at the North American International Auto Show. The Chevy Volt is Car of the Year. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Intuit Small Business presents Clarity in 30 Seconds. To see exactly where your business stands, just open Intuit QuickBooks and click on Reports. Hit the Profit and Loss tab. And there you have it, the bottom line, literally. All your income and expenses made clear, with enough time left over to give myself a crew cut. Goodbye, home perm. Try Intuit QuickBooks online free for 30 days at Intuit.com. We do the legwork so you can do what you love. Intuit. Small business rejoice.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
It's 34 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show on KJLL and BuckmasterShow.com. Republican Jim Colby served more than 20 years in Congress representing the 8th Congressional District of Arizona. He was succeeded in Congress by Gabrielle Giffords. Congressman Colby is on the phone now, the Buckmaster Show live line from Washington. Congressman, I know you're very busy, but thank you for giving us a few minutes to share your thoughts on this terrible tragedy.
It is a terrible tragedy, Bill, but it's always nice to be on the radio with you.
Thank you so much. What are you, 48 hours now since the incident, what are some of the feelings you're having right now?
Well, it's just emotionally overwhelming. I mean, I was just kind of deadened on Saturday, but I think it all begins to hit home here in a day or so later. And it's just, it's such an overwhelming tragedy. And, you know, my heart goes out to the families of those who were injured and slain, and certainly to Gabby Giffords and her family. I knew Judge Roll quite well, obviously know Gabby quite well, and I just, it's a terrible tragedy, something that one hopes never would happen in your own community, but so it's a terrible tragedy.
How is this going to change, Congressman, the way politics are carried out in this country, the rhetoric perhaps?
You know, I think it's a mistake to try and link this to the political rhetoric that we've had. I certainly do agree with Sheriff Dubnyk that we need to lower the tone level of the discourse in this country. But I think it's a mistake to link this to any kind of political motive. This guy appears to be a seriously deranged young man who committed this heinous crime. And there doesn't seem to be any kind of political motivation that we can find. There's certainly nothing that's coherent in anything that he's written or had said that would link it to something. So we do need to have better discourse, but I don't think it's that the uncivil tone is the resulted in this incident.
The sheriff, of course, was very outspoken at his news conference on Saturday. Were you surprised at the tone that Clarence Dubnyk came out with Saturday night?
I was. I was surprised at that. And I know he's been frustrated because he's himself been the object of a lot of intense criticism. But I think, as I said, while I fully agree, and I've been one of those saying that the polarization of our political discourse is very disturbing in this country, but I just don't see the link between that and this incident.
Will this change security for members of Congress, do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, there will be obviously some members that will feel they will want to have more security, and that's certainly appropriate. My staff, from time to time, when they thought there was a reason to be concerned, they would order security. But I think members of Congress are going to want to get out there and meet their constituents and talk to people, and they're not going to be hindered. They're not going to want to be put into a bubble. And there's no physical way that you can give the kind of protection to every member of Congress that you give to the president or some other visiting dignitaries.
I mean, it would be almost impossible, wouldn't it, to try to provide around-the-clock security for hundreds of members of congressional?
Absolutely. It's completely out of the question. But when there are events, you can ask for somebody to be there. And we did that on occasion, either a police or a sheriff's deputy. I'm not sure that would have made any difference in this case. The speed with which it occurred, the suddenness of it, might have had some difference in reducing the number of people who were injured, but I don't know that it would have prevented the incident.
Congressman, quickly, I know you have to run, but would you let our Buckmaster Show listeners know what you're doing these days?
Well, what I'm up to on a kind of a semi-permanent basis is I work for a think tank here in Washington, the German Marshall Fund. I also work for a strategic consulting firm, McLarty Associates, and I teach at the University of Arizona in the fall semester. I teach a course in the law and business schools, and I serve on a number of boards and commissions and other advisory boards. So, but I'm back in Arizona quite a bit. I'm there at least every month and for a week or so. So I keep my fingers and my toes in the water there in Arizona.
Congressman Jim Colby, thank you very much for sharing a few moments of your busy schedule back in Washington, D.C. on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to take a commercial break here on the Buckmaster Show, www.buckmastershow.com. We'll be back with Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. On the Buckmaster Show live line, Linda Valdez, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. And of course, Linda, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. We worked together for several years on the Friday Roundtable, and it's good to talk with you again.
Good to talk with you, Bill.
What a sad weekend. Horrible day, Saturday in Tucson. Some of your personal thoughts. I saw you had a column in the Republic yesterday that this tragedy was very personal for you.
Well, it was personal for me. I've known Congresswoman Giffords for years professionally, and my daughter went to Washington as part of a Jewish Latino coalition and met with her in her office, and she, you know, the stories about how warm she was, and you know, just the good kind of things that people say about her are very true. I think it also was a very personal loss and tragedy for all of Tucson. She is, you know, she is a hometown girl made good, and she's the kind of representative that people in this community can really be proud of. She really rose above a lot of the politics of the day and managed to treat everyone with respect and be a figure that we can all be very, very proud of. And of course, everyone is hoping that she pulls through this well, and all of our prayers are with her, of course. But I think it was a tragedy for the whole of Southern Arizona. She was the kind of person who really touched people who knew her, and just a real classy woman.
We're talking with Linda Valdez, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic, and this is an issue and a tragedy that hit home for Linda, because Linda works for the Arizona Republic, but she has lived in Tucson for many years. What is it, since the early 90s, Linda?
Oh, no, I've lived in Tucson since 1964.
Oh, my goodness, I had that one wrong. I'm so sorry.
I moved to Phoenix for a couple of years in the mid-90s.
Maybe that's probably where I got
that. That is what you're thinking of, yes. But I'm basically a Tucson girl myself.
Politicians must not hide in fear. That is the lead editorial in today's Arizona Republic that you and your colleagues put together. I think the tone there, Linda, is basically we must continue in a democracy to have the accessibility to our politicians.
I think that's critical, and I think that's something that the Congresswoman demonstrated in her own career. Of course, it had a tragic result, but she was the victim of threats and violence against her office in the past, and it did not stop her from reaching out to her constituents. When I was at the hospital on Saturday, and Jeff Flake showed up, who represents a Phoenix district, and he is a Republican, very conservative, and I asked him what he was doing in Tucson, and he said he drove down. He said, "I couldn't stay away," that the congresswoman was a friend of his. I asked him how he thought this might change his relationship with his constituents, and he said he hoped that it wouldn't. And I think that's probably a common hope, but then there have been discussions, and clearly members of Congress and their families have to be very concerned after something like this, because it is so easy for someone who is unhinged to get hold of a weapon and decide that it's their calling to do some horrible thing like this.
Linda, go ahead, Linda.
I was just going to say, it's interesting that this young man who is accused of doing this was suspended from Pima College this fall in September for behavior that was incidents that happened there, and they said you can't come back until you get a mental health examiner to certify that you're not a danger to yourself or others. And then in November, he buys the gun in this incident. You have to wonder, as a society, what we're doing to help people who are in need of mental health counseling. What kind of outreach is there? What kind of help are there for these folks? I mean, I think that's an issue that needs to be discussed.
Thank you so much, Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic, for spending a few minutes with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Bill.
We're going to go right now to Keith Rosenblum. Keith is with us in studio. Keith served as press secretary for more than 2 years for Congressman Jim Colby, who we were just speaking with from Washington. Keith is the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic, former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star, and he is the border contributor now for the new Buckmaster Show. Keith, it's good to see you.
Hi, Bill. Thanks. I'm sorry the public has denied seeing you. You actually they have to listen to you now. A new test for you.
Keith, talk to me a little bit. We were talking with Congressman Colby. Excuse me, I did not push the right button, Keith, so let me welcome you again.
I think it was deliberate. I think you did not want to hear from you.
Yes. We were speaking with Congressman Colby about, he mentioned a couple of incidents that occurred, perhaps security incidents. Can you elaborate a little bit? Did he have some threats against his life?
Well, I didn't hear Jim, first of all, and so I can only speak to the time that I was there. And I would say this. I would say that it's on a situation-by-situation basis, but it's generally, it's very lax. We wondered the same thing as staff. Having both set up town halls, having accompanied the congressman to any number of events, you always thought that there was the possibility, and you had people who were just odd characters showing up at events, and a lot of times would be confrontative. Sometimes they show up drunk. Sometimes you're in the middle of rural America on these things. And Jim was, I always thought of it as being a kind of a beautiful naivete, kind of the way that the Mr. Magoo cartoons start off, where he just goes about happily. And those things cross your mind. I would actually, a lot of times, leave his presence and go to middle or back of a town hall. You go to a place like a gathering in Sahuarita or out at Pima West, we would choose for news. We call them newsers, where the congressman would be supporting this or that cause. We would go to an isolated place. We'd go to a radio antenna, or we'd go to a restaurant, and this would be for Jim to the congressman to promote some kind of legislation. And there would never be any kind of security. We did not notify TPD or PCSO or any of the other agencies. Maybe they would get wind of it because they'd see our little caravan going somewhere. But staff was, and we were never briefed on it either. I might mention that as well, that there was never anything joining or exiting the congressman's office. Security was never a factor. We were blissfully ignorant also about procedures, and we just left to our own, which I think is actually the way it probably should be.
You know, Keith, I did a national radio interview on Saturday night with something called Red Eye Radio. It's heard by millions of people across the country on all the major stations in the country. And what they wanted to talk about is whether or not this incident will change these Congress on your corner events, how town halls are organized. What's your take on that? My take is it will change them dramatically.
My observation is no, it won't. That they that you have 435 very independent people who have sought that office for whatever reasons. They might be a little bit more in the way of, we might be more on guard for those people, but it's the congressmen themselves. I have a buddy whose job is to protect federal judges, and you have to almost corral them. They do not want to be protected. They want that public, and if the cost of that's going to be an assault one day or the fear, whatever, they're not ready to give it up. You have to look at the law enforcement mandate, which is to protect them, versus people whose lives are devoted to ministering to the disenfranchised or the enfranchised, and they're not going to hear of you impeding their progress. So this may end up being a kind of a jousting between between law enforcement and Congress. I think what's going to happen is perhaps within congressional offices themselves, there will be new tutorials on how to deal with certain personalities. But even then, even you can start putting in X-ray equipment or metal detectors. But there's always one side or another can always escalate. And that's once you start going down that path, you may end up with congressmen who are seeing people through bulletproof glass at some point if you allow that to occur.
Keith Rosenblum is talking with us. He was the press secretary for more than 2 years for Congressman Jim Colby. He'll also be covering the border for us here on the Buckmaster Show. Did you know or do you know Congresswoman Giffords very well, Keith?
No, I had the pleasure of meeting her on a couple of occasions and interviewing her for stories. And she also happens not to be my own rep. I'm in Congressman Grijalva's district, but what a wonderful woman! What a credit to Southern Arizona that we've sent someone of that caliber to Congress.
You know Sonora as well as anybody in the media here. How is Congresswoman Giffords perceived south of the border?
With much greater intellectual gravitas and much more appreciation than our governor, for example, and most of our other elected officials, both at local and national levels. If we had more Congresswoman Giffords representing the state, there probably wouldn't be the kind of frigid relationship that exists between both the states and also the countries over SB 1070 and other issues today. But I don't think that her contact has been that extensive anyway. It's worth pointing out that the Congresswoman had spent, I think it was a year, but I'm not sure, with the Mennonite community of Chihuahua. She knows the country quite well, and I think that helps in terms of the representing the district when you deal with people in Cochise County and Pima County whose roots are there or who have whatever kind of, whether it's commercial interests or cultural interests, she knows the turf.
We had scheduled this interview a couple of weeks ago, and we wanted to talk to you about the violence in Mexico. Quickly, Keith, if you would kind of bring us up to date, when you hear how all these reports of the violence, the drug-related violence in Mexico, what's your reaction?
My reaction continues to be that media scares us at every turn in our lives and that we are kind of a wimp society, that I will travel on Wednesday or Thursday back to Mexico. I'm on 30 years of this, Bill. I'm from suburban Chicago, and I would rather be anywhere in Mexico today. And so if I was worried about my well-being, I'd rather be anywhere in Mexico today than I would anywhere in the United States today, if that was a paramount concern. I don't think about it that often. I'm probably as naive as the Congresswoman is or other people are about security or as Congressman Colby was. So when I read about the violence, I think to myself, oh, God, it's the it's the media. It's spooking us again because those are the stories that sell. And also, we're kind of a xenophobic society anyway. And so I see us as enjoying stories about headless bodies appearing from overpasses throughout the country. But actually, it's real, but it's also way overplayed. And I think nothing. We go with my wife and kids. We go regularly to Mexico. When I read about it, I think, are we that shallow that we are not paying attention to to what else is going on both in Mexico and the rest of the world?
Keith, will this incident, this horrible incident on Saturday, will it be used to further stigmatize Arizona?
To the extent that we have an ignorant population, yes, because it's always... my wife, who's Mexican, says that she took a deep breath and she actually, for what it's worth, feels a sense of relief that it wasn't a Mexican perpetrator, that it wasn't somebody which was very similar to what Jews or blacks or others would say in previous acts of violence. We're sure it wasn't glad it was one of us. Well, that is both it's a realistic, but it's also, in many ways, a pathetic statement about a society that you would have people believing that somehow we're one step removed from riots or tribalism. They're going to blame collectively a group for the actions of one confused or identity-less individual. So, no, I don't. I mean, again, all I can think of in a case like this is how important it is. My wife's one of my kids' soccer games was canceled on the same day, and I thought, what a goofy thing to do. Now, the coach, it was his decision, and we got to get behind the coach. He said that for whatever reason, he was reflecting Coach Sean Miller's take on how basketball should be secondary in people's minds that day, but I don't quite buy into that when it comes to kids playing. I think, on the contrary, you keep normal things, and you talk to them about what they're going through. So if it does make any difference in Arizona's stigmatized or anything, that's just a reflection of how naive or dumb our population is.
It's interesting. You think, though, that the Congress on your corner events will continue?
Absolutely, because the Congress, because in the end, and this is, I'll go back to, it's fun to think about my time with Jim. I was only there for 2 years and a couple of months. But I will say this, I went to one event after another, and number one, it brought life to Jim himself to go and to press the flesh.
It energized him.
It gave him, yeah, I mean, not that he was lethargic to begin with, but it gave him vigor. It renewed him more than any energy drink would ever do. And he would go to these things, and people would come to us all the time, and I would go, I can't tell you the number of times, Bill, that this was kind of a funny reflection on Congress. But people would come up and say, you know, Jim, or they would tell me, you know, I disagree with the congressman on, and then they'd go, I disagree with him on free trade issues. I disagree with him on abortion rights. I disagree with him on federal policy. But I'm going to be voting for him because I like the man. And that's very true. People will insist on contact with their congressman, and the people in Congress know that one vote from someone whose back they slapped or whose hand they shook makes all the difference in the world. It won't change. This is going to continue. These town halls will continue. What they'll do is they'll just have a little bit greater awareness, probably. Maybe everybody who works for a congressman will read Gavin DeBecker's book, The Gift of Fear, or other things that teach you about hunches and who's coming into your purview. But no, it's not going to change a thing.
Because campaigning, by its very nature, for whether it's Congress or even a local office, you really do have to get out there and shake hands, don't you?
You have to do a lot more than that. You have to be shaking hands, embracing. You have to be feigning interest in things that you don't care about. You have to be learning, be ready to learn, and say the words "I don't know" to people, and that just won't stop because people still want they want to be elected.
Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks. I look forward to doing more stuff with you on border issues in the future, Bill.
Well, we hope to have you on at least once a month to talk about the border. Of course, it continues to be a huge story, and we will continue to follow it. Thanks, Keith.
You bet.
This is the Buckmaster Show, and I mentioned that Red Eye Radio interview that I did Saturday night, 20 minutes on national radio. It's on thebuckmastershow.com on our website, as will today's show, and all of our programs are archived there. We will be joining MSNBC for continued coverage now of the aftermath of Saturday's tragic shootings. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk to what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.